Whisper. Oh, gap, gap.
What? Wah, 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 five wah, Asian wah, guys gap, together? Wah, wah, what?
What? Do you think everybody should have a gun?
Maybe. I don't care.
I'll fight you.
Hey, man, you like opium? You like it high?
You want to get high?
Boom.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Asian Not Asian Podcast, a podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
I'm Mike Nguyen.
And welcome. This is our mystery episode. Ooh. Quick shout out to our network, Listening Party and Canal Street Radio. Check out those guys on Instagram at Listening Party Presents and at Canal Street Market. Also, if you are listening on your phones right now, you're on your iTunes app, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, whatever, take a screenshot right now. Just do it. Literally take a screenshot right now, and you have the internet. Go on Instagram, post that shit on your Instagram story. Tell people you're listening to us. Tag us at Asian Not Asian Pod, and we're gonna regram it and get you some followers. Okay, that's how this works.
Let's do it, and it really helps. Our numbers are looking good. We have our numbers pulled up right here. And
we do, yes.
We won't tell you how many, but every month has been a new high.
Exactly.
It's been awesome, and we need your help.
Yeah, we need your help. Okay, let's do our Patreon thing real quick.
Yeah.
I think because we recorded a couple days ago, we don't have any new... Oh, no, I lied. We have one new person. So this person gets a special shout out because she's the only one who donated this week.
There you go.
I don't even know if it's a she. John Wen Chen. I'm not done. That's how long his first name is. Z-H-A-N-W-E-N. That's
Whoa.
His first name. John Wen Chen. C-H-E-N. This is like the Chinese spelling of John Wayne, you know?
C-H-E-N. Yo, this name is so Chinese. So other Chinese people would be like, yo, that's Chinese as shit.
Yo, you gotta settle down, buddy.
Yo, kids, take it easy. This is Chinese, just have right? one Chinese first name, my friend, instead of three.
I'm looking at his picture. He's wearing... this is him hiking in like San Francisco or some shit. You know he's got that tech money, dude.
Yo, classic Chinese move, hiking in San Francisco.
And working at Google. Congratulations, nice. John Wayne.
Thank you very much.
Chinese. Thank you for donating. Again, if you guys don't know what we're doing right now, we always give a shout out to our newest Patreon subscribers for the week. So if you want to get in on that, go to patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod, and there you can find different tiers, and depending on how much you give us, you can have access to bonus episodes and pitching race news, and we slide into your DMs and stuff like that. So go ahead and check that out. You're going to want to get into that.
Yeah, I like it.
Let's see. Oh, yeah. Story of the week.
Yeah,
should we get
man.
Into it?
So, you have been busy.
I have been busy.
You have been...
Well, we have to be careful when we talk about this, man.
Okay. You've been... You went somewhere.
Yes, we went from busy to went somewhere.
You went somewhere.
Yeah. You know, this is... it's not really story of the week because this happened like, I don't know, a month ago or something like that.
Yeah, but we've been talking about it for quite some time.
We have been talking about it because it's kind of a big deal. I can't... You know, I can't talk about it super in detail, but I got picked... to film something mm-hmm. comedy related. I got picked to do something comedy related for like a TV show.
Right? A famous TV show that you will have definitely heard of.
Yes. And so first when they hit me up, they just hit me up on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I didn't believe them. I thought this was like some sort of like Nigerian person trying to get money from me. And I was like, you know my weakness. You know I'm sensitive about comedy. You know, it's like, hey, I think you're so funny.
I just need $50,000 and I can send you to Los Angeles and you can meet David Hasselhoff. It's very old in Nigeria.
I didn't believe him, and then we started emailing and I still didn't believe him because they had like an @gmail address. All the producers.
This isn't
real. And then like the contract came and I was like, oh fuck, this is real. And I was really excited, you know, it's like I've never done anything for TV, so I was like super excited.
Yeah, man.
But then, you know, this show, before I tape my thing,
yep.
They make you do an interview.
Yes.
About your background, like where you came from.
Yep, and yep.
All this B-roll stuff. And, you know, your work, there's so many producers there. So many producers there, right?
Mm.
And I worked with like, you know, two or three different directors or interviewing me and stuff like that. And it's all fine. You know, in fact, they prepped me for this before I even got there.
Yeah.
They sent me a bunch of questions. Like, this is the stuff we're going to ask you. So I sent them a bunch of answers beforehand. And, you know, I was excited to tell my story, right? This is like my first time on like, if this goes on air, it would be my first time on TV and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I had like a story prepared, but I got such a weird vibe because they, you know, the main audience for this show is not like people in cities, right? It's like middle America, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they really...
Mass market.
They really try to water down my story, man.
Yeah.
They try to water down who I was and who I am. Fumi Abe. but with water.
It's hard. It's like they were adding water to the soy sauce.
And it all started with the first question. They said, okay, where are you from? Right?
Got
it. I was like, simple question.
Yep.
Can't fuck this up. I said, I'm from Chiba.
Yeah.
I'm from Chiba, Japan. I'm from Funabashi. Okay? That's where I'm from. And they're like, cut. And I was like, wait, what? Where did I go wrong? And they're like, just, can you just say Tokyo? And wow. I was like, wow, dude, wow. Like,
you know you can't what? I mean, if anything, I'm surprised they didn't want you to lean into that.
That's what
you say
I thought.
More Japanese, Chiba.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would have happily done the accent. But then I was like, at the time, I was like, fuck, you don't even, like, if somebody was like, I'm actually Hmong, they'd be like, you just say you're from Vietnam or something.
You just say you're Chinese. Yeah,
exactly.
Just say you're Chinese.
I was like, that's so offensive. But I was like, whatever, like, I'm going to be on TV. Like, let me just, I don't want to get too upset right now, you know? Let me just do what they want to do. So we, you know, we continue on with the story. And what they wanted essentially was the rags to riches immigrant story.
Yes.
That's what they wanted.
Yes.
They wanted me to say my parents moved here with $3 in their pocket.
Right.
They wanted me to say I used to shop at Payless Shoes.
Right.
You know, they wanted me to say people made fun of me and I'm doing comedy as revenge. Right.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted. But no, I mean, I'm sure there are people like that in this world, you know? I mean, in fact, a lot of my Asian friends' parents who were Chinese or Korean, that was a lot of their stories because they came from, you know, now both those countries are really affluent, I would say. But they just, at the time, it wasn't. And they moved here for opportunities and they didn't have a lot of money.
Right.
And that is true. But that's not all Asian people.
Yeah.
That's not all
Asian
people.
That's not you. You moved here with that Tokyo.
With that Tokyo money.
With that Tokyo money.
With the Tokyo money. And I'm not even from there. Right? So like it was like I was struggling with like I was struggling with that story and I could just tell they really wanted it and I at some point I got like mad. I was like, because they were asking me about like, oh, like how mad were your parents when they found out? Like, my parents weren't mad.
They don't even know
now. They don't even know. I mean, they like kind of know, but like it's like I really don't have like that kind of relationship with them. And for me, it's like, you know, my relationship with my parents is like, as long as I'm paying for everything, which I am, then they can't say anything about my life.
That's funny.
And that's a very adult relationship, right?
That is very adult.
But they can't sell that story, I guess. So they're like, no, that's not what we want. And so they made me say...
Did they say that?
Did they say stuff, Mike.
Did they say, oh, well... Do you know what I'm saying? Did they imply it or did they implied it?
They implied it.
Okay.
And well, at a certain point, they're like, well, everybody says they don't care about their parents, but they actually do. And I'm like, well, you don't know my parents.
Yeah,
but
you don't know me. I'm a psychopath.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you don't fucking know
you
me.
You don't know Fumi.
I don't have a, you know. But they really, really wanted the story. And I remember one time, the other thing they wanted to hone in on was they were so obsessed with the move. When I moved to the U.S. from Japan in 1998. They were obsessed with it. And I was like really young. I don't remember that much. As again, if you're a kid, you don't give a fuck where you are. You just want to play basketball. You don't give a shit, right? And
like,
that
whatever.
Was like kind of an angle I was going for. It's like I really got to experience like the beauty of world peace where there's like no judging. It's amazing when you're 8, you move to a different country. There's no fucking racism. And
amazing. You don't really notice.
I got to experience
things.
That for like 1 year.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. I still remember how amazing it was. There's no small dick jokes. There's no like, you look different. There's none of that. They're like, yo, we're just trying to like.
We're all just hanging out.
It's amazing. I thought that was a cool insight, right? So I was leading with that story and they're like, no, that's not what we want. That's not what we want. And they wanted me.
It is with the racism.
First of all, they were like, well, like, what was that like? I must have been so different coming from Tokyo to here. I'm like, first of all, I'm not from Tokyo, so I have no fucking idea what the fuck you're talking about. And it's like, Japan's a first world country. Like, it's not that, I mean, that different, right?
Yeah.
Like, sure, the people there are Japanese, and the people here are not.
Yes.
But like, we have cars, we have trains,
we have
supermarkets.
Yep.
You know, they were like, I remember one time, I swear to God, one of the producers, they were like, I mean, had you ever even had a hamburger before? They asked me that. They asked me if I'd ever had a hamburger before I came to the U.S. And I was like, what the what is this? Is this some like weird punk show?
I thought that you were from Vietnam or something,
bro. Yeah. I'm like, I think you're getting your Asian countries mixed up, you know? So like, that was like infuriating me. And then like, it led me to this larger thought of like, this is the struggle that people don't understand.
Yes.
Right? This is
the Asian entertainer
this
struggle.
Is the people who make fun of Ken Jeong, the people who watch something fresh off the boat and they're like, not good. These fucking Asian haters, this is what they don't understand.
Yeah.
This is
you have to like be put into a box that could be sold.
Right. Well, and I'm not saying that these producers are right. Like, I think that they can sell this. I have more faith in the American people. I think my story is not that irrelevant, you know?
Yeah.
I think if I explained it, people would understand it and people would think it's kind of interesting.
Of course.
But they want to play it safe because there's money involved, yeah. right? And so I get that, but they made me say stuff, right? And so, so like, and it's like the Michael Jackson documentary, you know? They made me say stuff.
They made me say stuff. They said I was from Tokyo.
Yeah. I'm not from Tokyo.
So, if this clip ends up on the internet, I am 100% positive that I'm going to get some Asian hate. But it's like, yeah. it's like these fuckers don't even understand.
You don't even know right? what I had to do to get on
and this
TV
is what
show.
I'm, if you're an Asian and you're listening and you're full of hate, which is like a lot of you guys probably because you're all Asian, this is what you don't understand. And some of you might be like, well, then you shouldn't have done it. Well, then I'm not going to fucking
get on TV.
I'm not going to exactly,
you're gonna be
right?
stuck on this couch.
So it's like I'm in this like weird position where it's like I have to do some weird hacky shit for like a second and then until I get to do my actual act, which is yes. the thing I want to show, you yeah. know? So I don't know. It was like, it kind of made me think a lot about the industry.
Okay. But there was another guy from Japan there, right?
Yes. So there was another act from a guy from Japan, another entertainer.
Okay.
Right. And he obviously didn't speak any English.
And Japanese. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So these producers who think I'm from Tokyo, they yeah. see two Japanese guys together. So what goes through their head? Ooh, a nice cultural scene. So they made us do a bunch of scenes together. Yeah.
And
they made me speak Japanese to him.
They made you talk to him.
Yep. They made me do a thing where like
we're just like blowing him, dude.
We were like they made us wish each other luck. And they made him they made me ask him like for advice. And he was like, all you gotta do is like some like Zen breathing technique.
Oh,
and
he'd be my
like,
God.
And he would do this like weird, like he's not Buddhist, obviously, but he's acting it up, right? But I realized if you're like from Japan, there's no such thing as hack. If you're from that country, there's no hack.
You can just, you're there to kind of just push this extreme thing. And that is entertainment.
That is entertainment, right? And so like he leaned in with that. But it's like when I emulate that, I look hack.
Right.
Because I'm American. I speak English.
There's a whole stereotype that you have to deal with.
Yes. And so when I was doing this Zen breathing technique or whatever, I just pictured all the Asian hate comments that I'm going to get, you know?
Yes.
It was so, I mean, I'm overall net positive experience, I think. But like, you know, again, if you're an Asian listener with a lot of Asian hate, we got Asian hate this week. On the DMs, right? Mm. Just think about this. Just think about, you know, you don't know shit, okay? You don't know shit. Mike and I know shit, but you don't know shit. That's what I'm trying to say, you know?
Did it affect how you thought about how you should perform?
Not at all. Okay. Because that, me doing my set was like the most important thing to me.
Mm.
That's all I care about.
Yeah.
These dumb interviews, I don't care.
Yeah.
Because I watched a bunch of YouTube clips and they do this for everybody.
Yeah. Right?
They just want to have a funky little, if you're like a different type of entertainer,
yeah.
then they'll make you do something else. Like it's, they have these little easy boxes they want to put you in to sell, right?
Yeah.
So like I understood what I was walking into. That's fine. But so they control that. But what I do on stage, they don't control, right? I mean, it was approved by them beforehand,
mm-hmm.
but like that's my time. So as long as I did a good job there, that's all I wanted to do. So, you know, I might go back and do more. So more on the story.
This is good. This is all like the backstage, like oral history shit
yeah.
that people don't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
whatever gets out there,
yeah.
then, you know, we'll be able to have like a counter story or whatever, our own point of view. And we talk about this all the time about how we're trying to get those kinds of stories out there and like yeah. they're all nuanced and
yeah.
you know, you came from, if anything, I'm that story.
You know, yeah, absolutely.
My parents came out here, they didn't have anything, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then like I had to move and I became blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But then there's already is a famous Vietnamese stand-up comic. Can't tell that story again.
That's why you didn't get picked, bro.
It's too late.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And we are back with Das Race News.
Das Race News. Das Race News,
everybody's favorite segment. This week we're going to talk about, you know, some shit that's happening in Hollywood. As you may know, Mike, it was pilot season recently. Did
it
you know
was,
that?
It was. Yes. We had some of our friends go out for some of these pilots too.
Yep. Pilot season's when they start, you know, booking roles for these big sitcoms and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. if you're like a comedian actor, you know, between the months of February to April-ish, you just go out to LA for a couple months.
Yep.
And audition for a shit ton of shit. And then you don't get anything.
It's actor cuffin season.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I learned
so
that.
So this article came in today from our good friend Brian Park. He was very upset about it. And he's also a comedian actor. I don't know if you guys knew that. He does comedy. okay, this headline reads, Crazy Rich Asians authors CBS comedy finds lead.
Yeah.
So I didn't even know he was doing that. The CBS comedy, The Emperor of Malibu, has cast Max Willems in its lead role after an extensive search. Extensive search. Burn to Brian. The pilot from Crazy Rich Asians author Kevin Kwan and Warner Bros. TV centers on Augie, parentheses Willems, an environmental lawyer and son of a Chinese tech billionaire who announces his engagement to an American woman and is terrified of how his parents will react to the news. Newcomer Willems joins Ken Jeong and Deborah S. Craig, who will play his parents. The actor recently starred in the Joe Soloway-produced Amazon pilot College and has had a couple of roles on the series in the Netherlands. So
in the Netherlands. First of all, what a name, Max Willems.
Right. So this is the thing I want to bring up. And this is the thing Brian brought up to me, which I thought was very interesting. You know, he auditioned for something on the show. I don't know if it was a lead role or not, but
probably.
He can get it. And, you know, there is this rise. There's the Asian wave we're talking about.
Yeah, we are.
But if you pay close attention, the male leads, this is not a problem for females, but the male leads, they're all half Asian dudes.
Oh, yes. Those gateway Asians, as we call them.
Yes, so we learned from Julia. So we get Henry Golding, this Max Willems guy. There's another guy named Charles Melton who is in the TV show Riverside. And even the...
What about the Aquaman guy?
Oh yeah! What the fuck is his name? Is he mixed?
He's mixed,
but he's like Samoan or something.
He's like Pacific Islander,
but he's mixed
and white. Yeah,
yeah, and even the hot guy from Insecure, right? He's like mixed.
Oh shit!
Yeah, Alex Hodge.
Right? Oh yeah!
So we got all these quote unquote Asian dudes. A lot of them are mixed.
they found a back door.
They found a back door.
We're casting tons of Asian guys.
And so this brings up this point. Like, obviously, like not hating on these actors, like do your thing. And a lot of them are like half, so like that's fine. You know, it's not necessarily about them per se, but there seems to be like, it's like Hollywood, we're on to you, right? We notice a pattern.
Don't think that we haven't been noted. We're over here, we're looking at this wall right now with all of these pictures and we're connecting dots.
We got
True
the red
detective.
Yarn. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, they all have white fathers. What the fuck?
Oh my God.
And you know, Brian was like, he was frustrated. He was like, man, like all these half Asian actors, you know, what the fuck? Yeah. What the fuck? And it reminded me of I had a discussion I had with a black comedian friend about, and this might still be an issue, but this was a similar thing that happened in the black community when they started getting on TV. And in the black community, there's an issue between like light skinned black people and dark skinned black people, right? And especially in media, if you look at some of the earlier actors who had big roles on TV, they're all quote unquote light skinned.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? They're mixed.
Yeah.
Right? They have like a white father or some shit. Same thing.
Yeah.
Right? And so...
Is that what it means? I don't know.
Well, it just means you have lighter skin.
You have lighter...
So obviously there are all types of people and some people are darker, some people are lighter. But most likely you're mixed with something.
Interesting.
Something that's not black.
So it's like...
Right?
Yeah.
You think about all the mega pop stars. Beyonce, you know, Janae Aiko. You know, there's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
Is Mariah Carey black? I don't know.
She is.
She is?
Yes. Pretty sure.
Is she half?
I don't know if she's half.
She's like mixed,
she's
right?
Mixed, yeah.
Yeah. Shouts to booty.
You're saying that half Asian dudes are the light skinned of Asian
dudes.
That's
what I'm saying.
Dang.
And so like
team light skinned.
Right. Team light. So it's like, I always compare, you know, the Asian entertainment struggle of 2010s to the black entertainment struggle in the 80s, right? Like we only have stereotypical roles. That was the case for black actors in the 80s. They're only athletes and pimps, right?
Yep,
we're always like 30 years behind. So we're kind of going through that same thing right now, and it's just kind of interesting to think about how like the light skin version is just like, you got to put some white in there, you know?
Well, it's interesting because then you kind of compare this to Ken Jeong, right? Because Ken Jeong, how did he have to get big? He had to play a doctor, and then he had to play a small dick gangster.
Yeah.
And then he had to, and now he's got, I mean, he plays a doctor again.
Yeah.
He does have a bunch of other roles, so not to say he hasn't, and he's got a good range. But he has to do that path because there's not like, it's like unpalatable for a lot of people to see a full on Asian person
kiss.
God, that's such a sad sentence.
Like, seriously, a full on.
CS all.
Yeah, a full on Asian person. Like, yeah. 100% Asian. Yeah. Really Asian. I mean, like.
Like Jimmy O Yang Asian. That's why I love
Asian.
That dude.
That dude is very Asian, but it's hard for people to palate seeing him in a romantic role. You know what I'm saying? Remember, okay, so there was I don't want to say an Asian wave. There was like an Asian. And I mean Asian from Asia ripple when it was Jackie Chan, Jet Li, and Chow Yun-fat.
Yeah.
And those guys, they brought a bunch of like old Jackie Chan things over here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They brought over Jet Li. He's obviously had a great career here. Chow Yun-fat. They put him in a movie called The Replacement Killers with Mira Sorvino.
Okay, I don't know who Mira Sorvino is.
She's an actress. She's a white actress. Okay. And he's a badass in it. And he's like a total fucking, you know, gangster.
Okay.
And he's just fucking shooting shit up. He's killing things. And I just remember it. So in none of these shows, and then remember Jet Li was in Romeo Must Die with Aaliyah.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't think they hug. Chow Yun-fat doesn't get, I don't think he gets a hug.
Was it a romantic thing?
I mean, here's the thing. In any action movie, and I'm not saying this is right, you know, there's all sorts of gendering and weirdness happening, but it's a fucking action movie. In action movies, you think of any Stallone movie or whatever, you know, it's fucking the dude, the action hero blows everything up, you know, James Bond, kills everybody, wins the day, makes out with the girl.
Yes. That's the formula. Yeah.
In this one, nah. Nah. Chow Yun-fat, get the fuck back on that airplane. Get the fuck out of here. Jet Li, I think he like gets a high five.
Yeah.
And then he like goes, and I don't know what the fuck happens.
I mean, Aaliyah died, you know?
Yeah.
That's how bad it was.
So it's just like, it's unpalatable to see like a full on Asian dude make out with, I mean, even just make out with another Asian woman sometimes.
I know.
It's really weird.
That's the fucking crazy thing.
So that's why you got these half
dudes. I know. And so I'm conflicted because I obviously support anybody chasing, you know, if anybody wanted to be an actor, like, dude, you do your thing. And the fact that these guys are even part Asian is like amazing for representation. But it's like, again, straight Asian guys, we got to wait. We're still waiting. We're still waiting because they're not ready.
I know, man. And even and you guys, okay.
It's unbelievable.
You guys got to see Brian Park.
You guys got to see this guy.
He's handsome.
He's way hotter than this fucking
half
dude.
He is. He's handsome. He's got good hair. He's really tall. So I don't know what, I mean, he's our fucking LeBron. You know? And he's our LeBron. We're trying to get this dude up in there. And like, you know, he's playing against dudes from the Europe League.
I know.
They're losing, you know, so.
It's the Eurocentric features that do it. That's what they said in these articles.
I was a doubtful of Crazy Rich Asians, as we know from previous episodes, but I was won over.
Yeah.
And it's sort of the same thing. Like, this is a very particular, like, one percenter type of show, it sounds like, where the guy is a lawyer and also comes from a billionaire family. And also, he's mixed race already.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so, like, this, I don't know what kind of dynamic is going to be played here, which is fine.
Yeah.
Because I think that Kevin Kwan is a good storyteller, so I think it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna support, you know.
Yeah.
But I think this is like something we're just going to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Let's just keep an eye on. Let's keep the conspiracy board up.
Yep.
And let's just see if there's another. How many more of these?
I know.
Light skinned brothers get fixed.
And we are back with a segment we haven't done in a minute, man. We're back with Asian Yelpers, y'all.
Yeah, Asian Yelpers. Yes.
We haven't done this in a minute. We should explain this for the new listeners that we've gotten.
Okay, so some of you have heard, know what it is, from the old school anals.
Yeah, the old school anals.
Old school anals, those loose anals, have know about it. But for you new anals, you tight anals, this is called Asian Yelpers. And what we do is we find places on Yelp that have been reviewed by Asian people, and we read those reviews, and we generally try to find one star reviews because those are the most hilarious, and we see what these Asian Yelpers have to say about some of the most beloved places in the world.
And Asian people are the harshest Yelpers.
Very harsh Yelpers. Because they're going to want all sorts of things that these locations have not even considered.
So I looked up some places around here that I've been to before for
yes,
this.
Yes.
So I looked up three spots. One, the Applebee's.
The one on Fulton.
The one on Fulton.
I've been to that place. I actually, so the story for that is I went to look at an apartment in this building. One that you live in.
Yep.
We were going to be neighbors.
Yep.
And we decided not to do it because of something weird was happening. But afterwards, because apartment hunting in New York is so stressful, after every apartment we looked at, we would go to a bar. Me and Gina, and we'd be like, let's just go.
To discuss or just to de-stress?
To discuss and de-stress.
Yeah.
And de-stress. And so we went to this Applebee's, and it's on Fulton Street in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm, and so it's... it's a full-on Applebee's. It's like it's pretty big.
Yeah.
And we went on Mother's Day. I remember we went on Mother's Day because it was full of black families. Like they're like, and it was a Sunday.
Locals.
Yeah. Absolutely. So it was like everybody in their Sunday best. You know, dudes in like 18 button suits and moms, and you know, black moms in like awesome huge hats.
Yeah.
And so we were there, and we were like having a drink and stuff like that. So I loved it. I thought it was great, and people were very nice.
Mm.
It was a little crowded, but it was very nice.
So you would give it how many stars?
I would give it probably 4 stars.
Four stars?
It was solid. It's in a fucking Applebee's.
Yeah.
I mean, we weren't, I don't think we were even there during their amazing happy hour special where
paid full price for that shit.
Half off apps, which by the way, the apps are already like $8. So, I mean, for the number of calories you're getting, it's incredible. Okay, let's see what they have. This got bad reviews.
Well, first of all, it's got 2 stars.
Two stars, not good.
And you know, first I thought, you know, this is like a predominantly black neighborhood and everything like that. And I was like, oh, are Asian people even going to these places? But I did find a couple of Asians. They're everywhere. This reviewer's name is Steven Y. He's from Brooklyn. He's got 102 friends, 25 reviews, 103 photos. What a ratio.
Whoa, what a ratio.
What a ratio, right?
Not that many friends, but so many photos.
So many photos.
So much judging.
So here we go. He gave it a 1 star in December, and this was what he had to say about Applebee's on Fulton Street. Order delivery from Amazon.
From Amazon? Not even from them. Just like 2 steps. I couldn't even be bothered to go 2 years. They're terrible UX. Are you kidding me?
He didn't go on there.
Jesus
he's
Christ.
A third
you didn't even
website.
Go there for reals.
Oh my God. He's already making a mistake. This location ruined my good memories with Applebee's. When I lived in Michigan, I used to go to Applebee's for dinner, and it was amazing. But here? Nah. Good luck with whoever owns this location.
Okay, homie. You went to Applebee's in Michigan.
Yeah.
You didn't order it through a third-party app.
Give him a chance, Steven.
Give him a chance. Get down there, my friend, okay? You're going to see some of the beauty.
Also, you know, I'm from the suburbs. So, in the suburbs, places like Starbucks, McDonald's, what have you, fast food, fast casual, they're nice.
They're nice.
They're really nice.
Because they're so big and everything's so slow.
And for some people, like when I grew up in Ohio, Applebee's was the place to go. It was a treat.
Yeah.
Where else were you going to eat?
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to go downtown to get some authentic Italian shit. So you don't have money to do that. So
yeah, fuck that.
You're going to just go. You're going to drive 15 minutes to the local
Olive Garden. It has too long of a wait.
Exactly.
What are you going to do now?
So it's a prestigious place. So, you know, first of all, I would say comparing a suburban experience to an urban experience for fast casual is not fair.
I mean, like a Starbucks in other places, like Starbucks in Anaheim Hills, where I'm from, it's like going to like Morocco. Okay,
it's nice.
It's beautiful.
There's elephants
and, like,
everywhere.
There's like beautiful international music happening.
There's yoga happening.
There's like, you know, people are just distressing and like it's like a town square where exchange of ideas.
People are
really like learning to connect with themselves.
Yeah,
and in New York. Starbucks in New York are basically bathrooms that sell coffee, which is horrible. It's just disgusting. And like people are there 98% of the time just to charge their cell phone.
Right,
just to sit down for a second.
I'm guilty of
Me
that.
Too.
But yeah, I love that he got all of this from a to-go service.
It's fucked up. I mean, what did he even order? You can't order sticky wings.
I mean, he got it from delivery, right? So he didn't even go there.
Damn.
So he didn't like the food. Good luck with whoever owns this location. What
Yikes.
That's a very like Asian mom attitude kind of thing.
Yeah, good luck.
It's like,
that. Good luck with this franchise.
Like, exactly.
Yikes.
Well, Steven, you are who you are. I picked up another review here. This is the Popeyes also in my neighborhood. Popeyes Louisiana Kitchen.
Which one?
On Nostrand.
Oh, on Nostrand. Yeah. Oh, the one that's right off the stop.
Yes, sir.
Love Popeyes.
So I've gotten Popeyes here before. Popeyes in general, very good.
I love Popeyes.
This place is doing a little bit better. 3.5 stars as a whole.
Oh, but
franchise.
Not many reviews.
Only 7 reviews.
Okay,
yeah.
Interesting.
Well, so let's look into it. We got a guy named Vaughn. He's Asian.
Vaughn.
He's from Boulder, California. He's got 29 friends, 9 reviews, 1 photo. Good got ratio.
Okay.
Good ratio.
Okay.
Stay social.
Okay, yeah, not too many
photos.
So
he liked it. He liked it. So he said, long line. Oh, so he gave it 4 stars. He said, long line, but worth the wait. The chicken was well prepared and properly seasoned, and the fries are to die for. Oh my God, the Cajun seasoning on top of that crispiness is an artwork in itself. However, the staff was somewhat rude. But then again, we're in Brooklyn. It got a little racist. But that's how you know it's from an Asian reviewer.
That's true. That's true. Because it was all still about the service, even though you're in a fast food place.
I know.
Requesting service. You know, I mean, it's a fair review, though. He gave it 4. He did focus on the food mainly.
Yeah.
You know, I think Asian people, well, sometimes, well, we like the food. We do like the food.
The food. The quality of the food controls 4 of the 5 stars for me.
Yeah.
And then the service controls 1.
That's service usually, that's is important. Is. Yeah. Service is important. Are you one of those people who would like, if you had a choice, would you like to go somewhere that has good food and the service is pretty bad? Or would you like to go somewhere where the food is like solid, but the service is amazing? You know what I'm saying?
Probably the latter.
Really?
But the latter option is good. I thought you were going to say service is amazing, but the food is shit.
What if it's mediocre? It's mediocre.
I'd go to the first place.
Yeah.
But I'd have to like mentally prep myself on the way.
You have to be kind of like know what you're doing. Okay.
Yeah. I got to have like my friends roast me on FaceTime and stuff. Get ready to be mean to you. Yeah, exactly.
That's fair.
But you know, 4 stars, that's pretty good. And like this was a very Asian review because he got real into it. He called it on artwork.
Yeah, he talked about the Cajun seasoning. Bro, you know that comes from a bag, right? It's not like there's like a guy playing saxophone back there, you know? Like he's like, oh, I'll tell you what there, boy, if you get this Cajun right. And fucking from Florida.
So that's pretty good. This is from 2016. You know, he was the only Asian person to review this place. So
do you have another one?
I have another one, yeah.
Okay, yes, do.
So this one, this is a bubble tea place, but it's in Flushing. And so what I've done here is I've gone to the Asian headquarters, Mike. I found the Asian headquarters, Flushing, New York. And I'm not only am I going to the Asian headquarters, I'm reviewing an Asian person's review at an Asian town.
Oh my God. There's like
triple Asian.
This is Inception-Asian.
Inception-Asian. Okay. So here we go. So this is VV Bubble Tea. It's in Flushing. You know, it's a popular bubble tea spot. You know, they've got a cute logo. And I've had good experience with Vivi. So I don't know what their qualm is, but let's get into it. So this person reviewed, she's like one of those Yelp mayors. Okay. Her stats are crazy. Hit us with those stats.
Her
name is Hui, H-U-I.
Okay.
So you know she's Chinese as fuck. She's from Woodside, New York.
Dang.
51 friends. 457 reviews.
Oh, shit.
1,281 photos. That ratio, dude.
This is the Vince Carter of Asian reviewers. That's almost a quadruple, triple, double.
It's insane. And this review is fresh out the oven. Okay, this is March 7th, 2019. So only 20 days ago. So this is pretty good.
Fresh.
And before she reviewed, she checked in like a true asshole. And
to prove that she was there.
And she gave it a 1 star, but this is what happened. Okay. So she starts up. She opens with, this is her preamble. She's like a lawyer. She opens with, solely rating the popcorn chicken at this particular location.
Preamble. May it please the court.
I stopped by to try their popcorn chicken and saw that they had a BOGO half off deal, so I didn't mind buying 2 bags. Joke's on me. It was the worst popcorn chicken I've ever had. It's usually fine from other branches, but this location's popcorn chicken was just awful. As soon as they handed the bags to me, the chicken felt soft. I had a train to catch, so I didn't stop to open the bags and check. I did check on the train and was surprised to find 2 bags of basically just cooked chicken. There was barely any flavoring, and the crispy part was non-existent. The person who made it on the first either was new to frying it or didn't care about the outcomes, parentheses, resulting in soggy chicken. No one wants soggy chicken. I'd say avoid this place, popcorn chicken, for now.
Okay, first of all, Hui, you didn't even have the boba.
You didn't have...
Okay?
What are you doing?
You had the side.
What are you doing?
You had the side, okay? Okay, if you want it, if you want fried chicken, go to Popeyes.
Go to Popeyes.
There's a fucking right there.
Vaughn loved it.
That's like if I went to Applebee's and I was like, and I ordered the salad. Guess what? It's gonna be shit. Okay, you don't go to Applebee's for salad. You're gonna go to VV's for popcorn chicken. It doesn't make no sense. Second, this is another thing I've been wondering. Why is popcorn chicken a thing? Why is that?
At a bubble tea shop or in general?
I always see it, and I mean, don't get me wrong, I like popcorn.
Yeah. It seems like a random combination of food, huh?
It does. I guess it's supposed to be like a... I mean, I remember I would eat popcorn chicken sometimes when I was in college, and I was like really... poor and stupid, and like I was like, I'm gonna try to only spend like $4, and I would get a boba and I would get a popcorn chicken because it was kind of like a meal.
Yeah,
but it's just a weird snack to have on the side
with the sweet
with your
tea.
Sweet boba, right? Yeah, so it's not a meal. It's not really. I mean, it's a snack, but then you're there for boba, but then you're not, and you got this other thing. I guess it's like if you go to Starbucks and you know when you get those fucking protein packs.
It has two eggs
in it and an apple and like a slice of cheese and it's $18.
Yeah.
And you're just like you're eating it because you're like, I'm on the go. I need to go. I need to like get to this meeting. And you're like, you're eating, and halfway through you're like, I spent $18 on something that essentially should be free to people. and you know, you're really chugging your coffee and stuff like that. And I think that's what popcorn chicken is. It's like them, just some dude in marketing at VV is like, man, how can we upsell on these Chinese people?
Popcorn chicken. But what do you think about the whole soggy thing?
That is a fair assessment.
Yeah.
That is a fair, I mean, popcorn chicken.
What does it mean, soggy?
I think what happened is this, two things. A, they probably didn't fry it correctly, right? In the first
Which is hard to mess up because you just put a thing in.
You put the thing in, you know, it's got to have the right batter and stuff.
Yeah.
And the second thing, and this is really what it is, I think it's because they just served it quickly, right after, because you got to, in order for it to be real crispy, you got to fry it and then you got to serve it up right away.
Oh, you got to serve it up right away. Right,
yeah, because it's going to get soggy, especially if it's in the bag and closed.
It's going to get
all moist and nasty and stuff like that.
So maybe it got soggy on the way to the train, you bitch.
Yeah. It just... I don't know. Jeez. Unless this is a thing and I didn't realize that actually boba places are like underground actually for popcorn chicken.
Popcorn chicken, yeah.
And you were supposed to only, you know, it's kind of like how people don't know this, but steakhouses in New York are really supposed to be good bars that have steak.
Ooh. Yeah. This is also another secret thing. Sushi restaurants, you always order the tamago first. You order the egg to assess the quality of the other fish. You know that? Yeah. So it might be like that. Maybe there's some like secret Chinese shit that we don't know about. Like you go there, it's like before you walk in to a fucking BB and before you even allow yourself to the bubble tea, you're like, before you even ask me.
Let's see if you got the basics.
Exactly.
Yeah. How is your popcorn chicken?
It's like a, you know, you're just making sure that they can do that. The egg philosophy is like, if they can make the egg right, then they can make everything else right. So maybe it's like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, man. I'm waiting for the Jiro Love Sushi where the dude makes popcorn chicken
for 10 years.
10,000 times until he gets it perfect.
Yeah, and then Hui comes up and be like, this shit sucks.
This shit sucks. Star.
Okay, everybody, we hope you enjoyed it. That was our mystery episode. Quick shout out to our network, Listening Party and Canal Street Radio. Check those guys out on Instagram at Listening Party Presents and at Canal Street Market. Also, please follow us on Instagram at Asian Not Asian Pod. And please follow me on Instagram at The Fumi. That's THEFUMIABE.
And you can follow me on Instagram at Nice Pants Bro.
And please leave us an iTunes review. If you're listening on the podcast app on your iPhone, just go ahead and leave us a review. Also, just found us out, even if you've left a review, you can leave another one. So anyone could just do it. Literally just do it right now. We're at like 250 reviews. Let's get that shit up to 300.
Why not?
Let's get it up to 300, okay? And also please check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod. And there you can donate to our show and get a shout out and also get bonus episodes. And we have two. I think by the time this comes out, we'll have two. So you're missing out on two episodes, sir.
And I'm not sure when this is coming out. When is this
going to come out? Like April. Mid-April.
Okay, so just in case, if you're in San Francisco, I'm coming to San Francisco.
Oh, where are you going?
I'm going from...
Actually, I'll tell you exactly when it's going to come out. You keep talking.
Okay. I will be in San Francisco April 9th, 9th through through that week, but essentially you can catch me at Pizza Hacker on April 9th. You can catch me at The Laundry on April 10th, and then you can catch me at The Setup at 8 p.m. and 10 p.m., and you can check me on Instagram to find out those details.
A bad news, Mike. This is coming out on 4/22.
Damn.
But you can say this the same thing on the episode we're going to record this weekend.
Okay, cool.
Which will come out on Monday.
Well, yeah, so come check us out on whatever show we just talked about.
Yes, and Hack City. Hack City.
Hack City, yes.
So by the time this comes out, I think we've already had the April show. So the next one is May 15th.
May 15th.
No, I lied. It's May 8th.
May
8th.
8th?
Yeah, because he couldn't do the 15th. Remember, sometimes
Oh, May 8th. Okay. Yes.
That's so it's going to be May 8th.
It's going to be an early one, it's going to be a beautiful one.
Yes. And you can get tickets to that. There's a link on our Instagram bio. So click on that and click on Hack City Tickets and then you can reserve. And that's always fun. That's every, it's usually every third Wednesday, but it's going to be on the 8th. That's going to be 8 o'clock at 265 Canal Street at the Canal Street Market. So definitely check us out. And I think that's it. That concludes the show. It's nice. It's been nice just the two of us. It's just like.
We really got to do something. Because there's all kinds of different podcast versions we have. We have one where it's just you and me on the couch.
Yep.
And then we have one with our amazing guests.
Yep.
And then we should have even one where, I don't know.
I like this idea of having like different versions.
I think,
it's like Pokemon Blue, Pokemon Yellow.
I have this idea. We don't have to do it now, but yeah. I have an idea to do another segment. It's called Confessions.
Confessions?
Yeah, it's confessions that Asian people have. I have one.
Wait, no. This could be the mailbag.
Oh.
Yeah, so we could advertise this on Instagram starting tomorrow.
Okay, because the other segment I was going to do was Confessions, and mine is I have actually never watched or read Dragon Ball.
Oh!
Yes, I know just enough where I can fake it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's almost like I can't read. You know how people who can't read are like, oh, you know, they can kind of fake it. They just point to something on the menu and just be like, I'll have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know enough about, I've seen like, they came out with a Dragon Ball series like in America, which is just dubbed it, right?
Yeah.
And I watched this first season of it, which as if anyone who's seen anime knows, in the first season, essentially nothing happens.
Mm. You know, you watched 12 episodes or whatever?
Yeah, I just watched the first thing. He got to essentially the beginning of the quest.
Oh.
And he I think he got one of his Dragon Balls.
Oh, so this is like old school. He had the tail and everything.
He had the tail and shit.
Oh,
he was
shit.
Like, see, before all that shit.
I have a confession. I haven't seen that one because I was too young.
But you know all the other things. So I know like the arc of like, I know that he fights Frieza and I know he fights
Cell.
Cell.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know like these big things and I know why he had to like become more blonde.
Yeah.
And then like, I know some of those things. Like I know generally like these people are related and like the world they live in.
Yeah.
But like, I don't actually know a lot of all those little details.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, find out more on Confessions.